The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet them to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello and welcome in. It is our Thursday edition of the Leach Report. And what a nice day for us. Some nasty weather, obviously, heading down into the Carolinas, North Carolina beaches and South Carolina coastline. So keep those folks in your thoughts and prayers over the next few days. A lot of bad weather in that part of the country. It'll impact a lot of college football this weekend. I think there's a game tonight, Boston College Wake Forest, that they've moved up to a 5:30 start. There's an NFL game tonight as the Bengals look to go to 2-0, hosting the Baltimore Ravens. So, football, another football weekend gets going tonight. We are going to talk about, obviously, the win over Florida still, and just Kentucky football in general. With our lineup of guests today, Dusty Bonner will join us. You hear him with Jeremy and Christy on the Countdown to Kickoff show on game days. They'll be out there at 10 a.m. this Saturday at Kroger Field. We'll get Dusty's take on Kentucky's win, and in particular, talk to him a little bit about Terry Wilson at the quarterback spot. Justin Rowland will join us, and Mike Pratt will lead us off here in just a bit. That's our guest lineup, always presented by Sleep Outfitters. If you didn't get a chance to see the SEC Inside show that aired last night, it'll repeat. Do yourself a favor and find it on your cable guide or find it online. You'll really enjoy it. Very well done. Those things have always been well done. Obviously, I usually watch the Kentucky ones, but there's a little bit of they try to get a little NFL Films feel to it. And you get a lot of behind-the-scenes access on the sidelines, in the locker rooms. And it's when your team wins, you really get a kick out of it. So you guys will like this. And really cool scene at the end when they give the game ball to Coach John Schlarman in the locker room. And there's a phrase in there that Coach Stoops used that it strikes me could have some legs if this Kentucky football season really takes off. And after the game, he talked, or no, I guess actually it was pregame. He was talking about just a quick clip of him pregame. And he used the phrase, love, trust, and believe in everybody in here, talking about in the locker room. And, you know, love, trust, and believe. And the first thing that came to mind was from Friday Night Lights, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. So, who knows? Maybe it'll stick. But take a half hour, and well, you can zip through it if you're watching on tape, and watch the SEC Inside show. They also did an SEC Film Room segment on Kentucky, and I didn't get a chance to see that one yet, so I'll watch that sometime today. Our Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. It's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. When you get a big win, just a lot of cool things usually happen. Neat stories come up. One of them is Cash Daniels and his video after the game where he channeled Stone Cold Steve Austin and did a little takeoff on something that the wrestler had done before. I heard yesterday this is over 3 million views now on this thing. I was talking to Bunchy Stallings for an interview that will air on the pregame show and some video of his block where he crushed a Florida player. It's gone viral, too. It's in the five figures for the views of that. By the way, that was the only criticism I would have of that SEC Inside show is they didn't show that particular play where maybe they didn't have a good angle on it. I don't know. But Bunchy just crushing that Florida defender was kind of a signature moment illustrating Kentucky's dominance with its offensive line. And then there was a young man who works at UK who made the trip down to Gainesville. And he was cheering his heart out, and he was so supportive from start to finish in this game that people on the UK sideline noticed him. And I think they brought him into the locker room after the game for the celebration, and he was out at practice yesterday, and you probably saw this on Twitter. He got some pictures with players. Beatty London had a chance to meet him, just a huge UK fan, And he was just beaming yesterday watching practice and getting pictures with like Josh Allen and Benny Snell. So, again, a lot of those cool things happen when you get big wins. Cole Kubelik, I was looking at his Twitter feed. He does a lot of, obviously, offensive line analysis week to week since that was the position he played. He was down on the sidelines Saturday working this game, and he called Drake Jackson had one of the best performances by an SEC center, or not one of, had the best performance by an SEC center this season. And he said of the O-line that, quote, they have an edge to them. So some nice words there from Cole. Mark Stoops was on the Paul Feinbaum show, talked about it was a memorable experience, and he said you can't put a price tag on that moment that Kentucky had down at the Swamp. Shifting to a couple of other things, Andy Katz has a story out on the top 15 impact freshmen this season. Tyler Herro's on the list from Kentucky at number 5. Zion Williamson is ranked first, then R.J. Barrett, his Duke teammate, Carolina's Nasir Little, and Indiana's Romeo Langford. Recruiting Oscar Tshiebwe, I think that's what we're going with for now. He is going to host John Calipari for an in-home visit on Monday. Ben Roberts at the Herald Leader surveyed some experts, and Kentucky is emerging as the favorite for Oscar. Scotty Lewis visits this weekend, but a lot of predictions that the Gators will end up landing him. We'll see. Kentucky's going to get him on campus this weekend, but Evan Daniels, who was with us earlier this week, 24/7 Sports, he is now predicting Florida to get Scotty Lewis. And I mentioned the game ball presentation to John Schlarman. He's been nominated for the Orange Bowl Courage Award, given out by the Football Writers Association. And I think he's the first nominee of the season, so I would think he would be a strong contender as this season plays out. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and we are served up each and every day by Wild Eggs of Lexington in Palomar and in the Hamburg Center. And we'll be right back with Mike Pratt.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
17 after the top of the hour as we roll on with the Thursday edition of The Leach Report. And we welcome in Mike Pratt at MikePratt22 on Twitter. We'll start with the football game, Mike. Tell me your game watching experience. Were you home? Were you at a party? And how did it play out for you?
We had gone out to eat and just came back and watched the game. Had a couple friends over, and one of my daughters was over and her son, and we watched the game. Then we went out to eat or ate around here. I can't remember. It all blurs. But we had a nice crowd at the house. And, Tom, I said last week on your show, I didn't know what to expect from this team. I hadn't figured them out after one game. And a lot of factors got plugged into that first game. But, boy, they showed us a lot on Saturday. And I will tell you, we had you and Pick on. You guys were a little bit excited, weren't you? That was a pretty cool game to go to. And
that was really a cool night down at the Swamp.
I'm telling you, that place is a zoo. I've been there. And luckily for you, of course, you've probably been there when it was like 100 degrees and humidity. That's awful to play in, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very humid Saturday night, but the temperature was actually a kickoff. It was like 79. But the humidity was above 80 and eventually got above 90%. So there were a lot of Kentucky guys that were cramping up during the game.
Well, you can remember back in the day, we would play Florida later in the year.
In November, yeah.
It seems that last 15 years or so, we moved them to the front part of the schedule. And I think that's to their favor.
Oh, absolutely, because especially when Kentucky got them in Lexington in November in cold weather. In fact, it was a cold, rainy, drizzly day when Kentucky had last won. And this was just, you could speak to this just as a Kentucky football fan and you know, being in the program as a basketball player and being, you know, coaching at programs, that this was a big program win. Tom Hart was on with me yesterday. I was talking about what, you know, could set the table for bigger things. And his point was that it true, but that this in and of itself was very significant just because of the chip on the shoulder that had developed for, I think, for the fans. And to get this one, to get on the road made it even better, but just to get this one, you don't have to hear about the streak anymore. And you know, when you beat Florida, that's the name that you've got to take off the ladder if you want to move up. One of them.
Yeah, it's like knocking a 1,000-pound monkey off your back. You know,
yes, I mean, it is.
It's just huge. Now, in so much of a college athlete's world is dictated by their peers. And to have your peers now telling you how great that was, and you were the first team to do it in 31 tries, and it makes you feel pretty good about yourself. And not only does it make you feel good, it makes your fan base feel good and administration feel good. I mean, it was just a feel-good ball game. Now the real key is you got to come down to earth and take care of business on Saturday. Then you got two big ones coming up. And but mentally, it sets you on a positive go-forward basis about yourself and about your team. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And this is an older team, and one of the players yesterday in the interview sessions, I can't remember which one, talked about, you know, there were a lot of questions about overlooking Murray and coming out flat and et cetera, and somebody, one of the players, talked about, you know, don't underestimate the maturity on this team. You know, because it is an older group, and a lot of their best players are now in the junior-senior class for the first time, and they seem to be, you know, very, very dialed in. And, you know, you make mistakes, but that doesn't mean you play perfect. But they, I thought down at Florida, were just really focused, never seemed to get rattled. Gators made a little run at them, but they just kind of kept coming.
Well, that's what you expect from a veteran team. I mean,
you hope. Anyway.
That's, you know, that this is a veteran football team, and there's some guys on this team that should be hitting their peak in of college game play. They should be able to share those experiences with guys that are younger who happen to be playing. Leadership. We said in the summer, leadership's going to be very important. It looks like they're getting some good leadership from the upperclassmen, the experienced guys. So maybe it's all coming together. We're so used to having a young team in basketball, and Stoops has been able to build a football team kind of from scratch, okay, ongoing. And now he has his first some experienced players. And I think that Saturday it showed, and I hope it's going to show this Saturday and the next two Saturdays, which will be big. And if you can beat Murray and then split the other two, boy, what a September they've had, huh? I mean, I got to tip my hat to them.
22 after the top of the hour. That would be huge to set the table for what could be a special season. Mike Pratt's with us. We'll take a quick break, come back, and got one more segment coming up. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
We are back with Mike Pratt at MikePratt22 on Twitter. And last weekend, they inducted a new class into the Basketball Hall of Fame up in Springfield, Mass. And one of the guys that went in was a guy that you played against. You guys had some great matchups with the Tar Heels in your time at Kentucky, 68 through 70 seasons. And you went up against Charlie Scott at those times. And he was in that latest class. I was going to let you talk a little bit about him.
Charlie was, you know, I'm 6'3". Charlie was about 6'4", 6'5", played guard. He was a big guard back then. And played the two. Good quickness, good speed, knew how to play, very smart player, could get his shot off the bounce, utilized Dean Smith's system very well when he was there at Carolina. Then moved to the ABA and then the NBA, and I played against Charlie, and Charlie became very efficient off the bounce in the pros. Of course, Dean didn't allow, or most coaches didn't allow much dribbling to create shots back then. Wooden, Rupp, Smith, whoever, it was pass, you know, and you never picked, well, in Dean's system, you never picked the ball. You picked opposite the ball, brought people back to the ball. In his passing game. So Charlie was a difficult guard because he was bigger than most guards then. He had a very nice shot. And in the pros, he could put the ball on the floor. A very competitive guy. I've seen him a couple times since our careers all have ended and we've all moved on. And he had a kid that played someplace. And we played Ohio State. He had a son that played Ohio State. But Charlie, very nice guy. Glad to see him get in. Terrific player. He's one of the early African American players.
I was going to ask you about that because you know, he was breaking a barrier then in ACC country. You had Perry Wallace and Henry Harris, guys that played when you were playing Perry down at Vanderbilt. Did you guys ever talk much about that at that time? Did you have much of an appreciation for what they were going through? Certainly, what they were doing, you were aware of.
I had very little conversation about it because we played, before we went to the SEC, we played so many teams, not so many, but quite a bit. We played West Virginia, Indiana, Michigan. They all had African-American players. You know, growing up in Dayton, we'd play on the playgrounds. It was not a conversation point with us who we played, except the name on the front and how good they were.
Yeah.
Carolina was really good. And, of course, Perry, I got to know Perry a little bit after college, and he was just a special guy. And when you reflect back, Tom, I can't even begin to imagine. I talked to my friend Artis Gilmore, and I talked to Perry about this. You know, I couldn't imagine what they went through at that point in time in the South. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that they did it, and they did it with the style and the class that they did it.
Yeah, how strong they had to be.
Oh, my gosh. Because, listen, when I went to Oxford, Mississippi, I had never seen some things down there as far as, the restrooms, the water fountains. I never saw those before. I'm going like, wow.
Yeah, from Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, it was
that
there. Yeah,
Moses, Edward Moses' dad, Dr. Moses, was a principal at my mom's high school, the latter part of her elementary school, which he taught.
The great Olympic hurdler.
He's from Dayton. And I've never met him, but met his mom and dad many times. He was a principal. And he used to ask my mother, who taught 7th and 8th grade math and English, what did Mike say about Alabama? What did he say about this? What did he say about that? He was very curious about what was going on in the Deep South, and it was quite an interesting time. And when you reflect back on it, you just shake your head and you go, "Man, I went through that." I guess as an athlete, you're trying to keep your head above water. As a student, now if we would have had an African American player later on, Tom Payne came, but he didn't play as a freshman. But I know Casey told stories about playing with Tom that one year. You look after those guys. They're just like anybody else on your team. You look after them.
Got to run, Mike.
It's interesting.
Thank you much. Great visiting with you as always. And good luck to your Browns this weekend. Mike Pratt joins us on Thursdays on the Leach Report.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Justin Rowland joins us from CatsIllustrated.com. And we'll start by looking back at the big win over Florida for the Wildcats, Justin. And what were the most impressive aspects of Kentucky's performance to you?
Well, I mean, first of all, they just dominated at the point of attack. And I don't mean just like the offensive line, although they blew Florida off the ball. Logan Stenberg was awesome. I mean, you got two new left tackles, Nasir Watkins and E.J. Price, who basically didn't allow any combined hurries. And that's almost unheard of for Kentucky going into the swamp. And Dorian Baker, Taven Richardson blocked their butts off on the outside. And just so much more physical than Florida. Florida has a line of scrimmage problem, and Kentucky's a line of scrimmage team, and that showed up. That's why they were so successful.
You were tweeting something out. I saw, I think it was yesterday, after the SEC film room show aired. I saw the inside show. I haven't seen the film room yet, but you were talking about how impressed you were with the game that Eddie Grand called as a play caller.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I mean, he's got to get his due. It's easy to criticize offensive coordinators in hindsight if you're watching the ball, but, I mean, he set up Florida's defense a lot in that game with some of the new wrinkles that they've thrown into the playbook, like the RPOs where they can, you know, throw the pitch to the outside, or Wilson can cut back up the middle, which he did for the long touchdown run, and then the wrinkle, the variation off of that is throwing over the middle in the seam when you pull the linebackers up to Bouvier or whoever it is. I mean, they kept Florida's defense off balance, and obviously that's because they controlled the line of scrimmage and exerted their will. But, yeah, I mean, Terry Wilson just adds such a new dimension, and you could see Florida they were off balance because they had to defend so much of the field because of his athleticism.
Yeah, that is with Coach Ortmeier on Mondays. He was talking about when they would bring him in motion in Wildcat plays. But it's in other ways, too, how he makes you stretch your defense out a little bit, and it just creates more opportunities to attack them.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that first touchdown pass to Bouvier was beautiful. I mean, he was running to the sideline, and he flipped his wrist, and he put it right in his stomach. But you could kind of see when the defensive back got to the sideline, he started inching up towards the line of scrimmage because probably he was afraid Wilson was going to take off. And you don't see, I mean, I've never seen a Kentucky quarterback run away from Florida defensive backs. I counted three times he should have been tackled in the backfield, and he broke off big runs for first downs. And it's, I mean, you got to live with the turnovers if a guy can do that, because that's like indispensable. If you're not an elite passer, you got to have a quarterback that can do that in today's game.
I'm sure probably there were some fans when I was talking about this leading up to the game and after the first game that were scoffing, but I think you're starting to see a little bit after the Florida game, and I think you'll probably see more of it, that Darren Henshaw was telling me this summer this was actually before the first game. Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks he's had when they track targets, which means putting the ball in the right spot. So they track that in practice. So if you throw it to the right spot, the designated spot as the quarterback, you get credit for that even if the guy drops it. Because they want to tracking, you know, how accurate are you? And he said, now his decision making still has some work to do. And when he is there's a little too much going on, thinking about too many things, his mechanics can, footwork in particular, can suffer. And then the ball does different things. He's not as accurate then. But as he matures in the offense, it's his third playbook in 3 years, he's going to have a greater command of it. He's going to get more comfortable in it. And those mechanical breakdowns, one would think, would be fewer. And I think you'll see more of that accuracy emerge.
Yeah. You know, one of the questions people had about him before the season was, how accurate is he going to be in the short to intermediate passes? And I've tracked it. He's 17 of 21 on passes from behind the line of scrimmage up to 10 yards. And two of those were drops. Against Florida, he was 11 of 16. And two of those five incompletions were dropped. One of them was thrown out of bounds. And another one was a great thrown deep ball to Josh Ali that C.J. Henderson made a great play on. The only incompletion that I would say was a really bad pass, what was the really bad interception? And I think the mechanics had something to do with that. But I've been very, very surprised at how consistently he's making good, really beautiful throws. And you would figure that the decision-making is just going to be a product of experience.
You tweeted something else out, a story that you've got at thecatsillustrated.com, but the first line is how Stoops out-coached Mullen. Elaborate for us.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was really simple. Stoops and Kentucky executed their game plan. They wanted to go in and win the point of attack, and they didn't veer away from that. They threw the wrinkles in, and they got creative, but they were going to pound the football, and they didn't get too cute. I thought Dan Mullen got too cute. When I went back and watched the game a second, third time, I think he was too quick to abandon the run. Now, Kentucky's defense did defend the run well against Florida, But there is really no excuse for Felipe Franks throwing the ball 38 times against Kentucky. I don't think that was a wise decision as well. I mean, it was evident early in the game that Kentucky's defensive backs matched up well with Florida on the perimeter, which is a really good sign because they've got some good skill players. But their run-pass ratio was way out of whack, and I think that Mullen was a little bit undisciplined in how he called that game.
You also were in a Twitter discussion with a fan about Kentucky's strategy defensively in Florida's last couple of drives. They drove it down for a 99-yard touchdown. Fans always complain about the so-called prevent defense. But you're going to – I think when you're up two touchdowns and you're in the fourth quarter, you're going to be willing to give up short stuff. And you'd rather Florida – you know, you had them in third and very long. They if they could have gotten the stop there, they maybe get the drive stopped with no points. But at least they had to use up a lot of time. The worst thing you can do is get burned for a long touchdown and have them get back in the game with 8-9 minutes to go.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, I mean, a couple of things. Florida started that drive at the 1-yard line. They were down 11 with, like, half of the fourth quarter to go. And I think when you have a guy like Josh Allen and you're throwing him into the backfield as one of the four guys that you're rushing when you're dropping, you feel a lot better about your ability to get pressure, create problems. And people forget. I mean, Kentucky dropped like two or three interceptions on that drive.
Yes.
So it should have the ball probably should have ended up in the other end zone if they hadn't dropped those passes. And I don't even think they were in prevent coverage that drive. I thought, you know, you're absolutely right. You can't give up like a two-play 99-yard drive. You have to make them run clock. And then Kentucky probably felt like once they got the ball back, they could milk the clock down. So just shorten the game, and it worked out. Mark Stoops' track record in the fourth quarter with leads is pretty good. People should start to recognize that.
Yeah, it's very true. And the criticism he gets on management and so forth, that's an excellent point. And in close games, they're 8-4 last two-plus years when it's 7 points or less. This was... You know, this would have been another one of those added to the list had not the late fumble gone Kentucky's way. If Robinson doesn't get into the end zone, this would have, he'd be 9-4 now. And, you know, 6 road wins, I think, is significant in the last 2 years and change.
Yeah, and Florida on second down, when Kentucky was running the clock out, Florida had an illegal substitution penalty. I mean, can you imagine what the reaction from Kentucky fans would have been like if Kentucky had drawn that flag, you know, on the other side of the ball? So, and you know, I think there were penalties for sure. Kentucky got flagged like 12 times, but I mean, most of those I think were understandable. The face masks were kind of fluky. I think Florida's snap count got to Kentucky a little bit at some times, but just a really poised performance. And one of the reasons they were flagged so much, they were playing really aggressive. Their defensive backs and everybody just played really physical, and I think Stoops was okay with that.
Justin Rowland joins us on Thursdays here on the Leach Report. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Follow him on Twitter at Rowland Rivals. CatsIllustrated.com is where you can find him on the web. And his weekly visits to the show are brought to you by Shuffle Bean Coffee. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and Dusty Bonner joins us when we come right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Saturday, Kentucky and Murray State at noon. Pre-game coverage starts with Countdown to Kickoff on the UK Sports Network at 10 with Christy Thomas, Jeremy Jarman, and our next guest, Dusty Bonner, the former UK QB. And Dusty, let's get you to talk a little bit about the Kentucky quarterback play down at the Swamp from Terry Wilson. What did you like best about what you saw?
Well, I think it was it played to his strengths really, really well. And he's a guy that can create a lot. He's a guy that can he can make big plays out of nothing. But he's also a weapon. And what I really liked the most was when you saw certain plays where it was obvious, kind of like that little fake pitch, and then he takes it right back up the middle. You know, when you've got Benny Snell in the backfield, as a defense, you have to respect that, and you have to stop Benny Snell, and you're not going to do it with even numbers in the box. You're going to have to bring extra people up around the line of scrimmage to help with that. And when you do that, you have to react quickly. So if Benny looks like he's taking a toss, you better get on your horses and run. And And when you fake that little toss and those linebackers have to move because they got to respect and honor Benny so much, you know, then you got a guy that runs a 4-4 taking off up the middle. And I think that's a huge weapon, big advantage for us. And, you know, one of the things that I liked the most that I saw him do in the game was when he did run the ball, he ran right back up the middle. And I think that's where he's going to be most effective. I think, you know, Florida's defense kind of came after him. I think that's what you're going to see in the SEC is this defensive end trying to get up the field and get after the quarterback. And I think that plays right into Terry's hands. But their own aggression will kind of work against him because he's a guy that, I mean, if you get close to him, he can just take off. And, you know, they tried to play some man coverage, Florida did. And the problem with that is when those corners and safeties, when they turn and run on receivers, you know, if he breaks the pocket, there's nobody there to pick him up. If he can take off and get a big run for touchdowns. Then the other thing is early in the game when he threw that touchdown pass to Bouvier, I mean, he was rolling right at a pretty good clip. I mean, he was moving pretty good and had somebody kind of chasing him. And he just threw a strike, and that was not an easy throw. He didn't square his shoulders up. It wasn't like I would have had to have like perfect form to have any chance of like making that throw. And he didn't have perfect form, but he just had a lot of athleticism and arm strength and just put the ball in there just right on the money.
This offense ought to get a lot better, say, in the second half of the year, right? As Terry gets more comfortable, and then you've got a lot of different ways to apply pressure to a defensive game plan.
Yeah, it should. You're right. It should. It should just keep kind of blossoming and just opening up. And what you'll see, I think, as time goes along, you'll see plays that work, and then you'll see plays off of those plays. So it's kind of one of those. You know, again, if I'm going to toss the ball to Benny and it works for several plays, and then you do something defensively to respond to that, now I've got a wrinkle off that exact same play, that exact same look, that totally it takes your response and makes you 100% wrong. So the response that you created to stop that play, now it's 100% wrong for the play that I'm making off of it. And you know, we really haven't even gotten into, I mean, you've seen it a couple times, but you really haven't even gotten into a lot of the run pass option stuff, you know, where he does that kind of thing and then drops back and passes. And seen it a little bit, and it's been effective, but there's so much more that they can and probably will do. But I think it's just up from here. I think we're just going up.
Talk with Dusty Bonner. You hear him on Saturday on the pregame show starting at 10 Eastern with Jeremy and Christy. Countdown to kickoff at 10 on the UK Sports Network. Your first year here was 97, and you guys had one of those wins that had been broke a streak, so to speak, but just had been a long time coming. You beat Alabama for the first time in 75 years. It wasn't like you were playing them every year like Florida, but still, you hadn't beaten Alabama in 75 years, and you do that. Talk to us a little bit about how players need to manage all of the excitement that they're hearing about this week. I'm sure you guys heard about, you know, as you went around campus that week. How do you handle that to be able to stay focused when what is still early in the season?
Well, you know, I think it comes from maturity, and I think it comes from, like, when you have teams that are kind of get to that level to where they're competing for conference championships and things like that, those are the teams that take care of business. And the coaches always talk about details. They talk about, you know, doing your job. And that's really what it falls back on. Is it's not the big picture. It's the small things that you just focus on that end up making the big picture. And you're right. You know, they deserve to celebrate Florida. Everybody's still celebrating Florida. You know, you're kidding yourself if you don't think they don't see all the stuff on social media and on TV and radio and all that sort of thing. And they're enjoying that. But at the end of the day, they got to take care of business this week. And that would be, you know, if I was coaching them, that would be kind of my message to them, is, hey, look, if you want to go to that next level, well, here's part of it. You know, you can't just go get a big win at a tough opponent. You've got to come back and take care of business. Murray State, we should beat Murray State. And I would just be straightforward with them. Yeah, we should beat Murray State. There's no doubt about it. But we need to take care of business. We need to have starters that get to sit the second half on the sidelines and rest up for next week. You know, guys, if you really want to take that next step as a program, you know, this is part of it, taking care of business when you have the opportunity, and this is a week where you have the opportunity coming off a big win, because you can't let down on this deal. You know, there is no letdown on this deal from here on out if you want to be at that elite level. If you want to play for a championship, conference championship, and I think they've got a legitimate shot at that, Tom. I think, you know, as I look at it right now, I mean, you know, Georgia's obviously the favorite in the East, and they should be. Very difficult team. But Kentucky should be number two right now, at the very least, in my opinion. And so they've got a lot to play for. There's a lot on the table. They can reach a lot of goals and do a lot of things that are special. But it starts with taking care of business today, and that's getting ready for Murray State.
A minute or so left. Tell me what they'll start to see from opposing defenses now that Terry's shown some things he can do and Benny's Benny.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to try certain things, and I think one of the things you try is I think you try to come after him and try to hit him as much as you can in the backfield, talking about Terry and blitzing. If I were a defensive coordinator at this point and I was a pretty evenly matched team, I would run a zone coverage, cover two over the top, and I would put everybody else in the box to try to help against the run. And the passing game would be, you know, you got to make the right reads and you got to throw on time if you want to pass the ball. I would not give him the opportunity to run around and make plays. And part of that is I would not blitz my linebackers a whole lot. I'd pretty much play kind of vanilla and say, okay, beat me. And we're going to do our best to stop the run and we're going to make you, you know, make you make reads and throw on time and do those type of things. And I just think, you know, he's just so electric from the quarterback position that if you come after him, if that guy misses, you know, you're looking at a touchdown. You're not looking at a 10-yard gain. So that would be my approach if I were a defensive coordinator. But, again, it depends on your personnel and what you got going on. If I'm Georgia, I can probably do a little bit different things. I can probably just play my defense. But that's what I would do.
Dusty Bonner, you'll hear him and Jeremy and Christy Saturday morning on Countdown to Kickoff. Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and we'll be back to wrap it up in just a moment. Donato Slice of Wildcat History. A school record was set on this day in 1958 as Kentucky clobbered Hawaii. Roger Byrd, pride of Corbin, Kentucky, scored 25 points in a game. He had four touchdowns, and he kicked a PAT, so that's going to be hard to top. Benny doesn't kick, so he'd have to get five touchdowns to top that, or anybody else. So that was a school record that has lasted a long time, and it's going to be hard to top that one. For Roger Byrd, went on to have a great career with the Raiders. That will do it for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, will join us, among other things, as we look ahead to the game with Murray State. Military Day, special deals for the military. You can go to ukathletics.com, find out more about that. Try to get you some details on that tomorrow as well. But have a great rest of your day. If you have folks down in the Carolinas, keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And we'll see you tomorrow here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Join us every week.